Here we go. Hour number two of the Rob Brown Radio program is underway. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen. It is the Fan Upstate. I am Rob Brown. The great one, Lonzo, and the ones and twos. Very animated first hour of the show. Every hour is animated on this show. It's kind of our thing. All right? We're audio Red Bull. It's all we've ever been. That's why they put us in the morning. Try to wake up the Upstate, baby. And I didn't want to do that cliche like, good morning, Upstate. Everyone, grab your coffee. Nah. Turn it up. Let's get loud.
By the way, really quick, we are live on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, and X. And if you're commenting on our personal pages, we don't see those. So you need to comment on the fan pages or, you know, like that.
Yeah, the smart thing for us to do is to stop putting it on our personal pages, to be honest. And make people come over.
Well, there are some people, like family members who watch.
Yeah.
Would never be able to figure out to get somewhere else. I'm just being, because they're older, and it's not, I mean, you know.
I appreciate the honesty.
Not everyone, I mean, the fact that they grasp it enough to hit like, I'm happy about that. That's awesome.
We are streaming live, Facebook.com/TheFanUpstate, Twitter.com/TheFanUpstate, The Fan Upstate, or The Rob Brown Show on YouTube and The Rob Brown Show on Twitch. If you'd like to join in on the stream, we are live every day that we do a show, which this week is today and tomorrow. Off Thursday for the 4th, we will return on Friday, then off on Saturday and Sunday. We'll also let you know as we get ever closer to it that on Monday the 22nd, we'll be live in Charlotte, North Carolina from ACC Media Days. On Tuesday the 23rd, we will be live from Charlotte, North Carolina for ACC Media Days. We will be off on Wednesday the 24th. Why? Because Rob and Lonzo have a previous engagement. We're going to see Creed Tuesday night, and we will both be recovering on Wednesday for very different reasons, but recovering nonetheless on Wednesday morning. We will return to ACC Media Days on Thursday, July 25th. That is the day that Dabo and the Tigers will do their ACC car wash. So I will also tell you that, and this is going to be kind of interesting, I will also tell you that the player and coach interviews all start at 10 o'clock every day. So what you'll have is Monday morning, a regular show. We'll get all the interviews and everything. I think Florida State goes on day one. I think North Carolina's day one as well. So we will get all those schools on there. Then on Tuesday, we'll play you back Monday's interviews. We'll be off on Wednesday. So on Thursday, we'll play you back Tuesday's interviews, as well as whatever Cole and Diesel get on Wednesday afternoon, as they will be broadcasting live from ACC Media Days on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. We will be there Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday. As Media Days wraps up about 2 o'clock Thursday afternoon, we will have all the Dabo stuff, and then we will have that run that back for you on Friday. So there is your schedule for ACC Media Days, just so you're aware. Everything should be the same. We'll be on the same time slot. We will have the stream up and running live from ACC Media Days. So still going to be here, still going to be doing the show. Just going to let you know, it's going to sound a little bit different than normal as we will be live on remote and location up in Charlotte, North Carolina, again, for ACC Media Days, July 22nd, 23rd, 25th for us, Diesel and Cole, 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. They'll be back here on the 25th as Media Days will conclude before Wire to Wire goes live at 3 p.m. So there's your heads up for that week, just so you know where you are and you are set. It is 7:04 in the morning. You've got just a few more minutes before you got to get to the office. You got to get locked in and clocked in. You got to start talking to the boss. You got to start talking to that one coworker that you do not like. Jim. It's always Jim. Jim down the hallway is always playing pranks and stuff, but like they're not really that funny. You know what I mean? Like that one time that he went out there into the parking lot and he like left a rubber duck on your hood. Oh, gotcha. It's not funny, Jim. It's not. So you're going to ignore Jim. You're going to walk down the hallway, and you're going to go talk to Mikey. Mikey's a cool guy. You know how I know he's cool? Because he goes by Mikey. Mikey is always cool. And you're going to talk sports with Mikey. Mikey's your dog. He's your guy. He's your guy you talk sports with. And if you're going to talk sports with Mikey and the rest of the gang, you got to know what's going on. And if you got to know what's going on, you need this. Hey, I'm sure there's a few people that have said that so far this morning. That's okay. That's okay. Not everything's for everybody. We do a little something for everybody. All right? It's Water Cooler Cheat Sheet, top three sports stories that you need to know before you get to the office this AM and start talking sports with your coworkers. If you're going to do it, you got to know what's going on. Away we go. Let's get to item number one. The United States men's national team had high expectations for their performance in Copa America. They did not reach anywhere close to them. They won the first game against Bolivia, a team that was well outgunned and outmatched 2-0. They turned around and dropped a decision 2-1 to Panama. That meant last night when they took on the best team in the group, Uruguay, they needed a win. They needed not just a win, but they had to outperform whatever Panama did against Bolivia, the worst team in the group. They did not. 1-0 in favor of the South American side last night. It crashes the United States out of the group stage. It prevents them from moving on to the knockout round. And the Americans, who came in at least expecting to escape the group, fall short of what I don't think is an unrealistic expectation. Expectation. Not goal. Expectation. Your goal should be higher than your expectations. Mine were. We did not get to even the expectation level. Forget the goal level. It was poor. It was poor. That's all there is to it. It was poor. Matias Oliveira knocked through a 66th-minute goal for the Uruguayans. The Americans had opportunities scattered throughout this game, and I will say that the officiating in this game was butt. It was bad. It was cheeks, as the kids say. It was awful. It was atrocious. It was embarrassing. In fact, I said last night after that match was over, the man who refereed that game last night should never see another pitch. He was that embarrassing, okay? I mean, he made Angel Hernandez look competent. That's how bad this guy was at his job. Still, the Uruguayans played on the same pitch with the same referee, and they figured out a way to finish. The Americans did not. So they finish Copa America with one win, zero draws, and two losses, a grand total of 3 points. Panama got the win over Bolivia and the win over the United States. They become group runner-up with 6 points. Uruguay goes 3-0 in the group stage. They collect all available 9 points. They will win and take on the runner-up team out of Group D that will be decided this evening, whereas the Uruguayans will get the winner of Group D, which will be decided this evening. I got a lot more to say about Greg, but so does Carly Lloyd, so does Alexi Lawless, and so does Furman's own Clint Dempsey, who did not hold back last night. And we will hear from all of them coming up a bit later on in the radio program. It was disappointing. It was frankly embarrassing. There's no excuse for it. And yes, I understand that he's a human being with feelings and a family. I do not give a damn. You have a job to do, Greg Berhalter, and you did not do it. You have continued to not do it. You have continued to fail at the two or three expectations we've had and get us embarrassed. We were hosting this event. We just let a bunch of people walk into our own house, slap us in the mouth, and we did nothing about it. I have a problem with it, and we'll talk about it more later on in the program. But the Americans out of Copa America, they do not advance out of the group stage, and there are now some very difficult discussions. They should not be difficult discussions. Greg, you've had a chance. You've been in this role for, what is it, 8 years now? 8 years you've been in this role, and we have not improved. We have no signature wins. We have a couple of Gold Cup wins, which, by the way, at a point in time where Mexico is the worst they've ever been at this sport. So really the best guy. Oh, and by the way, Canada got out of their group stage. Canada, America's hat, the land of mooses and snow. They got out of their group. So the Mexicans are the worst they've ever been. Canada outpaced us. Yeah, it's not a difficult discussion. Greg's got to go, and somebody needs to be brought in that at least understands how to run with the talent you have, all right? At least give us a chance at this point. At least give us a chance. We'll talk more about that later on in the show. Let's get to item number two. Tracking NBA free agency. We talked a little earlier about it. Jason Tatum has signed the most lucrative extension in the history of the NBA. My man's making north of $350 million over the next 3 years. It only outpaces the next highest, which is Jaylen Brown, who signed his last year. Now the Boston Celtics have the two richest contracts in NBA history, both on the roster. Remember when everybody said that this team couldn't win without Marcus Smart? Oops, blew that one, because Boston's going to run it back next year. Mo Bamba has signed on with the Clippers. The 7-footer averaged 4.5 points and 4.2 boards off the bench last season with the 76ers, where he played behind Joel Embiid. He may get the opportunity to start. Klay Thompson is out at Golden State. That saga has concluded. He makes his way down to be the third in the big three for the Dallas Mavericks. Will he rejoin Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving? Will it matter? I can't say no, but I do think, right, when a lot of people forgot that Klay got benched this year. Like, for a long stretch of time, Klay Thompson was a, like, mildly effective bench role player, not a starter. He's not the same cat that he was during the dynasty run a few years back. Is he still good enough to help pull the pressure off of Kyrie? Sure. Is it enough for me to believe that the Dallas Mavericks are now ready to win an NBA Finals? I don't think so.
You know, we talked the entire series about how Dallas is like one player away. So you don't think Klay's that guy?
I don't think Klay's that guy. I don't. If Klay was that guy, he wouldn't have got his ass benched in Golden State. That was a power forward that they needed in that rotation, and he wasn't the guy there. Why is he suddenly going to be the guy when there's more pressure?
He was injured a bunch, and then there's also the fact that maybe he wasn't happy. I mean, and change of scenery sometimes just makes you remember who you are, and maybe he will when he gets to Dallas.
It's fair. It's fair. Maybe there is a renaissance coming for Klay Thompson. We will find out. Jason Tatum, we mentioned him, got the contract. Aaron Holiday staying with the Rockets. De'Anthony Melton will sign a one-year $12.8 million deal to move into Klay Thompson's spot with Golden State after he had moved over. Nicholas Batum joining the LA Clippers, where he will step in for Paul George. Paul George is now going to sign with the 76ers, where he will join with Joel Embiid. Chicago got some bad news as DeMar DeRozan will move on from the Bulls. The 15-year-old vet made the decision after the Bulls brought over Josh Giddey from OKC, who replaces Alex Caruso. DeRozan said, we can't compete now with this lineup. I am out. Derek White signed his deal to stay with Boston as well. Deion Wright, a one-year deal with the Bucks. Drew Eubanks, a two-year $10 million deal to join the Jazz and give them some help on the boards. And Tobias Harris is moving on from the 76ers, so they will need to find a new point guard as well. Isaiah Hartenstein leaving the Knicks, taking a three-year $87 million deal with the Thunder. I actually really like this. Maybe the best center on the market this offseason. What was the one thing OKC had a problem with in this last postseason? Rebounding. It's one thing they could not do. I really like Chet Holmgren, but he's not a board wiper. Hartenstein is. So now I got a board wiper. I got a five that can play a four in Chet Holmgren. I like everything about this move for OKC. I think this makes OKC, to me, more dangerous than Dallas next postseason. I really do think OKC just made the move. As much as we talked about Dallas being a player short, I thought OKC was too, and I think this is the player. I think this team addressed its issue probably better than anybody else did in this run. Let's move on very quickly to item number three. I don't know that anybody else is going to consider this one of the top three stories in baseball, but it is, to me, one of baseball's, my favorite baseball traditions. You a home run derby guy? Can I get you to tune in for a derby?
Yeah, I almost always watch a home run derby.
I love the derby, man. Right? Because it's just the boys being the boys.
But seeing who's going to wash out because they try so hard the first round and they get, I mean, you know, there's a surefire winner and then he doesn't always win.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You get a Pete Alonso who goes out there and he just smashes in the first round, but then you can see halfway through the second round that he's tired and the bat got a little heavier. All of a sudden, the velo coming off the exit is just not as high.
And sometimes the guy who's pitching to them gets tired.
Sure.
Yeah.
100%. And that's why this is good. This is very interesting because that has been noticed by Major League Baseball. The T-Mobile Home Run Derby has changed its rules for this year. It is set for July 15th at Globe Life Field. By the way, we're almost halfway through the baseball season. Wild, right? Didn't we have opening day like a week ago? And we're almost halfway through. Now, it is not as dramatic of a shift as MLB went through back in 2015. Remember, back in 2015, it was changed from the outs system. You got 10 outs. Anything that you swung at that was not a home run was an out. And there were ways to earn some bonuses or whatnot. They shifted to a clock-based system. They are keeping the clock-based system, but they are going to change up the way that the rules work. Last year, the entire derby was an 8-person single elimination bracket. They will not go with a knockout round this year until the second round. This year, there is still an element of the one-on-one showdown, but that doesn't come into play until the semifinals. This year's first round will have no predetermined seeds. It will consist of all 8 hitters competing with the top 4 performers advancing to the semifinals. At that point, it will shift to the guy who hit the highest number versus the guy who hit the lowest number, and then obviously the guy who hit the second and the third highest will be on the other side of the bracket.
All right, real quick, if they have no seeds, how do they determine who go what batting order?
The most home runs hit in the first round will be the one seed. The least home runs hit will be the fourth
seed.
No,
I mean when they first start.
Oh, I assume it's just going to be a random draw.
Okay.
I assume. I haven't seen that.
They're explaining all that, but if there's no seeds, how do you know who goes first and who goes last?
I'm assuming it's going to be a random draw. The only other way I could see them doing it is home run total in the regular season, right? Or whoever has the most home runs
maybe
goes.
Maybe alphabetical order.
Yeah, I'm not sure is the answer. Last year, there was no formal maximum number of pitchers that a hitter could see during an individual round. It was still the case that a lead official had to notify the pitcher when he or she could throw the next pitch to the batter based on whether it was clear that the previous batted ball would or would not result in a home run. But beyond getting that approval from the official, there was no stopping a pitcher from going as fast as he or she wanted. So basically, that pitcher could throw, look, when the official said next ball is clear, throw, and a lot of batters were bringing in guys that had arms and they could just bah, 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 fire pitches in during that clock. That is no longer the case. The first 2 rounds will still be 3 minutes. The final round will still be 2 minutes, as was the case before 2024, but there is now a maximum number of pitches each hitter can see in each round. The first round and semifinals will conclude whenever 3 minutes or 40 pitches come first, but there are bonus periods that we'll talk about in a minute. Likewise, the finals will conclude after either 2 minutes or 27 pitches, excluding the bonus period. Bonus pitches are no longer on a timer. Last year, there was an automatic 30 seconds of extra time granted to each batter at the conclusion of each regulation period. Then beyond that, a hitter could earn an additional 30 seconds, giving him 60 bonus seconds total if he hit 2 home runs of at least 440 feet. This year, the bonus pitches are different in terms of how they are acquired and how long they last. Instead of getting an automatic 30 seconds of extra time, each player now gets bonus pitches up until they record 3 outs within that bonus period. If a player hits a home run of at least 425 within the bonus period, then the bonus period is extended to last until the player records his 4th out in that period. But it is no longer the case that hitting those long home runs during regulation leads to extra time. Here's one thing that I pointed out. Did anybody catch it? Last year, the distance to trigger the bonus time was 440 yards. This time, it's 425. Why? Why? Why is it 425?
Ball tampering.
Because MLB deadened the baseball and it killed the Atlanta Braves. I thought I was a lunatic. I thought I was a conspiracy theorist. I thought I was the Alex Jones of sports radio. Turns out I'm actually a freaking genius and I nailed it. I know ball. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show continues. It is the Fan Upstate. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Robin, the great one, Lonzo with you. Phone lines open for you, 844-326-3663. That, my dear friends, is the number to the Renewal by Anderson of the Carolinas fan phone. The text line is open at 71307. 71307. Start your text with fan, F-A-N, and we will read them on the air. 71307 is the text line number. You can tweet us at The Rob Brown Show, at The Rob Brown Show. You can tweet the great one, Lonzo, at Lonzo on Word, at Lonzo on Word. And you can get at us on the stream as well, live streaming every show, every day that we're on the air. All you got to do is Facebook.com/TheFanUpstate, Twitter.com/TheFanUpstate, The Fan Upstate, or The Rob Brown Show on YouTube and The Rob Brown Show on Twitch. You can see the beautiful, bright, shining smile of the great one, Lonzo, every single day for 4 hours. So do that. Do that. Hey, there's a new thing in the world of NIL that I think is going to help win Lonzo over even more. There is a chicken restaurant in Columbia, South Carolina.
Okay.
This chicken restaurant, that's a weird way to say it.
Chicken joint.
Wings. No, that's the name of an actual restaurant.
Wing place.
A wing joint. I don't think anybody's called themselves wing joint yet. Anyway, this place.
That implies it's only the joint of the. Never mind.
Do people not call places joints anymore?
It's nah, joints, see, right? they went down to the wings joint. Yeah.
It's a place apparently called Breakers in Columbia. Anybody ever been there?
I've heard of it before.
Have you?
We should run by there when we're in Columbia.
I'm not mad about it.
Next month.
Not mad about it. And we've got a number, Zoe. We got a number to go down there and see how we stack up against the South Carolina Athletic Department wing eating champion, because they held a wing eating competition between members of the football and the basketball teams a few days ago. Do you want to guess, Lonzo, what sport and what position player won the wing eating contest?
Offensive lineman from football?
That is exactly correct. Ja'Kai Moore competed against multiple teammates and basketball players in a wing eating contest and smoked the competition. To put it into perspective, Joey Chestnut did a wing eating contest not too long ago. Devoured over 38 wings in a little over 3 minutes. That means my dog was putting down about 11 and a half wings a minute. And you got to keep in mind, these things, like every time they eat and they drop that bone, a judge looks at it to say that wing's clear, that wing's good. You got to eat the wing. All right,
there's a certain amount of meat you got to get off there.
You ever had wings with somebody that doesn't take all the meat off the bone? It's one of the most infuriating things on planet Earth.
It's so wasteful.
It bothers the hell out of me, and I don't know why. It ain't my wings, right? But, like, it bothered. Were you in a household that, like, you don't leave the table till you clean your plate? Was that?
I don't want to do the thing where we didn't have much food, so I
okay.
So, yes.
Lonzo, you finish your half a can of Spam before you get up?
Spam was great back in the day.
Fried Spam's not bad.
Fried Spam, yes.
It's not bad, all right? I grew up
in... It's the meat of choice in the south side of Columbus. I'm just saying.
It's really... Fried Spam is really not bad. You know what else I've gotten really big into lately? Fried bologna. Big... The fiancé won me over to fried bologna. I'd never had it.
Wow. Welcome to the south. You're really going southern here.
I grew up on the beach. Fried bologna wasn't a thing down there.
Yeah, my mom's from Kentucky, so fried bologna definitely
I'm all in on some fried bologna sandwiches now, all right? A little slather of mayo across the top, toast that bread on both sides, a little butter on it.
Yeah, we went ketchup, but you know, whatever you do.
I mean, I'll try it. I'll try anything. Anyway.
Ketchup and mustard and a smiley face on fried bologna.
I grew up in a happy plate house. You don't get up from the table till you, if you're a kid, you don't get up from the table till you made a happy plate, right? Happy plate. Plate's got to be empty. Then when I got older, it was always like, you can go to dinner, you finish your dinner, or you don't get anything else, and you will finish your dinner for breakfast tomorrow, okay?
How can you get any pudding if you don't eat all your meat?
How can you have any pudding if you don't eat your meat? So it drives me bananas when I go grab wings with somebody and they don't finish the meat off the bone. But in a wing eating contest, you've got to. You've got to. You've got to finish the meat off the bone. Joey Chestnut went 38 wings in a little over 3 minutes, put him at about 11 and a half minute, bones a minute. Jakai Moore did about 7.5 wings per minute. So about 4 less than the greatest eater in the history of eating.
You also got to keep in mind that as an offensive lineman, he's a big guy. He's got bigger hands. It's a little bit harder to get. I mean, Joey Chestnut has smaller hands.
I disagree. I think for a wing eating contest, you want the smaller hand because the fingers are out of the way of the meat, right?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Jakai's hands are so big, eating something like that makes it more difficult.
Okay, I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying, and I agree. Not only did he out-eat 3 other fellow linemen in the competition, but he also took down 4 basketball players who showed up. When it was all said and done, Jakai Moore knocked back 20 wings in 3 minutes. Defeated the reigning champ, Vershawn Lee, this year to take the Garnet Trust wing eating contest, according to Mike Uva, who was there. 20 wings in 3 minutes. And my favorite thing was the picture that he posted of Vershawn Lee, who was just like defeated, like a look of defeat, right? Because I can't think that as a competitor, though not winner, in many a eating contest back in my heyday.
Never tried it.
Oh, dude. I won one wing eating contest at the Hooters in Destin. But it was in like 2008, so I was like 23, right? Much better shape.
Were you there as a celebrity, or you?
I was. I was hosting a morning show at that point. It was the Hooters Bikini Contest and Wing Eating Championship, and I was both a judge for the bikini contest and a wing eating competitor that day. I won twice.
Wow, dinner and a show.
Yeah, I won twice. It was a great day to be Rob Brown. I'll be straight up with you. I cannot remember how much I ate. I cannot remember how many I ate. I know I won. I think I won by like 2 wings over another guy.
Did you think, though, at the same time, the more you eat, the less chance you have with anyone who's in the bikini contest?
Dude, when those women came out, I didn't have a chance before I ate a wing. Okay. And they made the smart decision. They did the bikini contest first. All right.
It's a good move.
Yeah. Real good move. As soon as they came out, I'm like, oh yeah, no, I might as well eat the wings. I might as well just be coated in wing sauce when this is over because I got no shot. And this was when I was like 24 and in shape, dude. No chance. These women were like, the winner of this was going to be Miss Florida for the Hooters Bikini Contest in Las Vegas. Like, these were the most attractive women from the state of Florida. I was beyond out of my league, okay? So what I will tell you is I remember being absolutely miserable after finishing until they named me the winner and Miss Hooters Florida walked over to give me my, and this is true, sash and crown.
All right.
I looked beautiful. I looked amazing. Okay. But what I can tell you is I've lost many in eating contests as well. And I don't think there is a worse feeling than the misery of knocking back, you know, a couple dozen wings in 3 or 4 minutes and then not winning. Having to sit with that much meat in the gut for like 5 or 8 hours and not have a sash and a crown for it.
Yeah, but I mean, you got to eat all those wings. That's a win right there. If you like wings.
A plate of wings. Fiance, I'll tell you this. If she ever says, you pick what's for dinner, we're getting wings. I love chicken wings. Chicken wings and shrimp are my favorite 2 foods on the planet. All right? I will take chicken wings and shrimp over anything. And the versatility of chicken wings and shrimp, incredible. Right? Bubba Gump told y'all about shrimp. I don't need to tell you about shrimp. Bubba did a fine job of it. Chicken wings, you can bake them. You can fry them. You can broil them. You can pretty much do anything. You can coat them, not coat them, bread them, not coat them, spice them, marinate them, grill them. There's a million ways, and they're very versatile. That's why I love chicken wings. Because when you say chicken wing, I got to ask, how do you prepare your chicken? Somebody says, come over for wings. I'm like, how are you making them? All right. I've gotten big into smoked wings, big on smoked wings right now. But a classic breaded fried wing, never going to steer wrong with that. Right. But I will tell you that while a plate of wings is always a good decision, five plates of them in 5 minutes is not a good decision. You will regret that for days at a time. Unless you win a winning contest.
Which was worse, the nuggets or the wings?
The nuggets, but it was only because the particular nuggets that we got, when Cody Decker and I had to slam 75 of them in 4 hours, the only reason that the nuggets were worse is that they are so full of sodium, they suck up every bit of moisture in your body, and it's like your body wants to sweat, but you have no sweat to sweat. The salt has absorbed it all. I'm not kidding when I tell you, I thought Cody Decker was going to die. I called him the next day at like noon just to check in, be like, how you feeling, bud? And he goes, I have not gotten out of bed since the end of that show. I'm like, you haven't gotten up to pee? He's like, no, there's no liquid in my body. None. I have nothing left. Right? That was worse. It would have made it better if I'd have finished the 75 wings and they would have given me a sash and a crown. I'd have felt a lot better, but I didn't. I felt awful.
Do you still have the sash and a crown, or did you have to give it back?
I do not. No, I didn't have to give it back, but it has been lost in the multiple moves that I've made since that point in time, which is too bad because I'd hang it in the window if I still had it. I would hang it in the window. It was a point of pride for me in a very long time. In fact, at my old station, I had a show liner for about a year. That was, and now your host, winner of the 2000 and whatever year it was, 8 Hooters Florida wing eating competition, Rob Brown. Like, it was a tag for a minute.
And now you just have the, you know, Star Award.
Now I just have, best radio show in the state.
Yeah, that's not winning at wings, though.
Right. It's not the same thing. Best radio talk show in the state 2 out of the 3 years that I've been here is not quite the same as Hooters statewide wing eating champion. It's not the same vibe. But the eating competition was held by the Garnet Trust, the NIL collective for South Carolina. They hooked all these guys up to come in and knock back a few dozen wings and gave them some cash for it. This is how you get athletes to buy in, man. This is how you do it. Dumb stuff like this. Because tell me Ja'Kai Moore is not walking around with that title and that championship belt for the next year, right? Texas said, what's the proper way to eat a wing? I feel like I leave meat, but it's not intentional. That's from Corn Chip. We'll talk about that, Corn Chip. That's a life lesson. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. God, I am being a jerk today, dude.
Yeah, you're
being a jerk today.
You're not being overly nice, but that's fine.
Nah, I'm not. I'm really not in the mood. You can all thank Gregaga for that.
I like Jerk Rob as long as he's not, you know, being that way towards me, because then I gotta retaliate.
I could never.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
I could never.
Yeah, because you ain't winning a shouting match today.
I don't know, man. I feel like I could dig down deep if I need to.
We're finishing up hour two. You're still kind of strong.
Dennis hates fun. That's all it is. Dennis hates fun. That's all it comes down to. Dennis hates fun. All right? If you don't know what I'm talking about, you can come to the stream. But I'm not gonna say it in the air. I'm just going to say Dennis hates fun.
Don't let trolls get you. He could just be joking.
Maybe.
He could be. I mean, if he's
joking, then I'm joking. Dennis loves fun. But if he's not joking, Dennis hates fun.
I mean, you know, we're just award-winning over here. You know, that's what we do. So, I mean, you know.
Hey, let's get to some more stuff around the world of sports. The ACC has officially welcomed Cal, SMU, and Stanford into the league. They did so yesterday. SMU's first official day in the ACC was yesterday. Cal and Stanford officially become members on August 2nd, but the ACC did put out the official welcome to all three yesterday. And it's a thing that happened. I mean, of all the things that have ever happened in the ACC, this is one of them. This is one of the things that happened.
I forgot all about them being a part of the ACC.
I mean, listen, so that we're clear, these actually are pretty good additions to the conference, except for football, right? Like, here you go. Cal runs 30 sports in postseason eligible team Cal runs 30 teams in postseason eligible sports. 21 of them made their postseason. Three of them finished last season ranked number two or better in their respective sports. Nine of those 30 teams finished in the top 10. Three Pac-12 coaches won Coach of the Year awards. Six Pac-12 players won Conference Player of the Year awards. Two student-athletes won 2023-24 Pac-12 Scholar Athletes of the Year. Across Cal, of all their athletes, they have 104 all-time national championships, 331 all-time individual national championships. They have sent 223 Olympians to be medalists, including 121 gold medalists.
Hey, congrats.
That's pretty good numbers.
Congrats, the ACC getting some surfing trophies now. Way to go.
I mean, can we get some love for gymnastics up in this B? You're damn right we can. Let's go, Simone. Turn it back on, all right? You good? We got you back.
I don't know. This weekend, the gymnastics, a lot of stepping out of bounds.
Simone?
From everybody. It was not good. They got to do better.
Got to do better.
Got to know where that line is.
Cannot wait. We are, what are we sitting on exactly 20 days away from the start of the Olympics? When Lonzo and I are going to be absolutely become the two most intense gymnastics radio broadcasters you've ever heard. You give me like a one-day refresher course, and I'll come back in here and be able to say, I know Matt. I know Hobby Horse. Are they called Hobby Horse?
Dude, are you serious?
What are they? I forgot what they're called. Pummel.
No, Pummel's for the guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't do the horse. The women.
What do you call that thing? I am completely blank. Well, Big Olympics guy.
The parallel bars?
No. The thing that they sit on and they
The like women that. Don't do that. That's a pommel horse. The guys do that.
I said pommel horse.
Right, but the guys don't do that. I mean, the women don't do that.
They do
what? They have balance beam.
They do balance beam. That's right. But I was right when I said pommel horse and definitely not hobby horse. Which I definitely did not say out loud about gymnastics on the radio. Point is, big gymnastics guy over here, okay?
Yeah, if you couldn't tell.
Big gymnastics guy. And Cal brings a history. SMU, 8 AAC championship teams last year. 28 event conference titles won by student-athletes. 10 co- You know what? I'm going to stop. And here's why. Because no one cares. Because no one cares. No one cares. No one gives a good gosh darn.
About the ACC, yes,
no,
you're right.
About these teams being added to it.
Okay, yeah.
All right?
In all seriousness, I did forget that they got added to the ACC.
I mean, listen.
Because it still doesn't make sense. It's like, okay, everybody else is getting teams. We need to get some too. Oh, okay. Let's take them.
I'll go a buck further. Because, again, I actually have some good arguments.
Do you feel like there are bugs crawling on your arms? I know you're peeling.
I'm peeling.
But it's
real itchy.
It's getting obsessive.
I forgot to moisturize. I should have moisturized before I came in here. No, I'm not using hand sanitizer. My skin is more high quality than that.
Okay.
Right? I have lotion in the car. I'll go apply during the break.
There might be some women down the hall that might have some moisturizer.
That's true.
I'm just saying.
I bet they got some smell good stuff down there.
Should I go ask Tori? I mean, it'd be weird.
I'll go ask Tori. Okay. I don't care.
All right.
I bet she's got some like lavender.
Hey, Tori, Rob needs some moisturizer.
I need some moisturizer. Okay, so like you bring in Stanford. Stanford is the leader in all-time NCAA team championships, right? Like there's legacy from these teams being brought in, and no one cares. Here's why they got brought in. I told you this when it happened. I'll tell you again just to give you a refresher because, hey, today, tried to get John Blau on today. Missed him yesterday because I was off. And he goes, I'd love to come on, bub, but he's up in North Carolina today. Why? Because today is the first hearings in Clemson versus the ACC in the North Carolina version of the case, right? So these teams did not get brought in because they're crown jewels. These teams did not get brought in because they are now going to make the ACC the elite football conference in America. These teams got brought in for one reason and one reason alone. These teams got brought in so that there were too many members to vote to dissolve the conference. That is it. That's it. That's the only reason. They didn't bring them in because Stanford, SMU, and Cal are going to make football elite. They didn't bring them in because Cal, SMU, and Stanford are going to up the ACC's degree of difficulty, or because we believe they're going to be postseason teams, or any of that. They brought them in for one reason and one reason alone, so that the schools like Clemson, Florida State, North Carolina, Miami, etc., couldn't win over another couple of schools like an NC State or a Duke, get them to vote to dissolve the conference, and then do that. That's it. That's it. That's why nobody cares. That's why nobody's like, this is a, it is now here and official. When I go to ACC Media Days, these schools will be represented. I will be interviewing players and coaches from Stanford, Cal, and SMU. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. These guys, these teams were not brought in to make the conference a better football conference. They were brought in so that Clemson couldn't call Virginia Tech and be like, yo, Hokies. Yo, Hokies. Let's be real. We could all be making more money. You'll get a Big Ten invite. Virginia Tech will get a Big Ten invite. We want Enter Sandman on TV. We'll give you a crack, right? We'll pull some strings. Florida State can't call Miami and be like, listen, I know we got a long history. I know we got a long history of back and forth, a lot of rivalry, you know, going back to the Jimmy Johnson days, going back to the Bobby Bowden days. Like, I know we've got this history. So why not keep the band together? When we catch our SEC invite, we'll put in a good word for you too. Wink, wink, finger guns. We'll put in a good word for you. Hey. And we'll get you the invite. And you'll make a buttload more money. Vote to dissolve the conference. And they make a good argument. And then all of a sudden, it's not just Clemson, Florida State, North Carolina, Miami, Duke. But maybe you get a Virginia Tech. Maybe those two go, hey, let's make a play to stick with each other. We'll go to the Big Ten too. Or we'll go to the Geico 12. Right? Geico 12 is going to pay out more money, probably starting in a year or two. Let's go to the Geico 12. Let's go to the Rouse's Supermarkets 12. Let's go to the Applebee's 12. Ooh, Applebee's a good one. Applebee's 12. We'll make more money. And then all of a sudden, the league dissolves itself. Well, guess what? Do you think there is a chance that Stanford, SMU, and Cal are going to vote to dissolve a conference that they just joined? A conference that saved them? No. Of course not. So now, the number of votes required to dissolve the conference grew, and the number of schools willing to vote to dissolve the conference did not. So the ACC is only now under threat from these lawsuits. The Florida State ACC lawsuits in both Florida and North Carolina. The Clemson ACC lawsuits both in Pickens County and up in Charlotte. And they're getting underway. So I'm ready for what is going to be, boys and girls, the most exciting few months in college football's calendar. The day that, I got to remember to bring the blenders back, the day that we start playing Law and Order ACC. Can't wait. Lonzo and I are about to hit the legal books. We're about to become legal scholars of the highest order by the end of these lawsuits. Zoe and I are both going to be able to say, we know law, just like we know ball. Can't wait. You know what else Lonzo knows? How to read the hell out of a sports flash.
We'll see about that. Boston's Jason Tatum is now the richest man in the history of the NBA after signing a five-year, $314 million extension. Good for him. With the Celtics following an NBA Finals win. The move comes after Boston signed his teammate, Jaylen Brown, to a record extension last year, meaning the two richest contracts in NBA history will both be in Boston next year. Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving have some help next year as former Golden State Warrior Klay Thompson has signed a three-year $50 million deal with the Dallas Mavericks as part of the three-way trade that landed Thompson in Dallas. And Mavericks send guard Josh Green to the Charlotte Hornets and sent two second-round picks to Golden State. Hey, tune in this afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. for our brand spanking new show, Wire to Wire. Cole Bryson and Diesel get you up to date on the latest local and national sports news. Great guests, great debate, a whole lot of fun, and it's all Wire to Wire.
God, I'm being a jerk today, dude.
Yeah,
I'm being a jerk today.
You're not being overly nice, but that's fine.
Nah, I'm not. I'm really not in the mood. You can all thank Gregaga for that.
I like Jerk Rob as long as he's not, you know, being that way towards me, because then I got to retaliate.
I could never.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
I could never.
Yeah, because you ain't winning a shouting match today.
I don't know, man. I feel like I could dig down deep if I need to.
Hey, we're finishing up hour two. You're still kind of strong.
Dennis hates fun. That's all it is. Dennis hates fun. That's all it comes down to. Dennis hates fun. All right? If you don't know what I'm talking about, you can come to the stream, but I'm not gonna say it in the air. I'm just gonna say Dennis hates fun.
Don't let trolls get you. He could just be joking.
Maybe.
He could be.
If he's joking, then I'm joking. Dennis loves fun, but if he's not joking, Dennis hates fun.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're just award-winning over here. You know, that's what we do. So, I mean, you know.
Hey, let's get to some more stuff around the world of sports. The ACC has officially welcomed Cal, SMU, and Stanford into the league. They did so yesterday. SMU's first official day in the ACC was yesterday. Cal and Stanford officially become members on August 2nd, but the ACC did put out the official welcome to all three yesterday, and I that it's a thing that happened. I mean, of all the things that have ever happened in the ACC, this is one of them. This is one of the things that happened.
I forgot all about them being a part of the ACC.
I mean, listen, so that we're clear, these actually are pretty good additions to the conference, except for football, right? Like, here you go. Cal runs 30 sports in postseason eligible team sports. Excuse me. Cal runs 30 teams in postseason eligible sports. 21 of them made their postseason. Three of them finished last season ranked number two or better in their respective sports. Nine of those 30 teams finished in the top 10. Three Pac-12 coaches won Coach of the Year awards. Six Pac-12 players won Conference Player of the Year awards. Two student athletes won 2023-24 Pac-12 Scholar Athletes of the Year. Across Cal, of all their athletes, they have 104 all-time national championships, 331 all-time individual national championships. They have sent 223 Olympians to be medalists, including 121 gold medalists.
Hey, congrats.
That's pretty good numbers.
Congrats, the ACC, getting some surfing trophies now. Way to go.
I mean, can we get some love for gymnastics up in this B? You're damn right we can. Let's go, Simone. Turn it back on. All right? You good? We got you back.
I don't know. This weekend, the gymnastics, a lot of stepping out of bounds.
Simone?
From everybody. It was not good. They got to do better.
Got to do better.
Got to know where that line is.
Cannot wait. We are, what are we sitting on exactly 20 days away from the start of the Olympics? When Lonzo and I are going to become the two most intense gymnastics radio broadcasters you've ever heard. You can be like a one-day refresher course, and I'll come back in here and be able to say, I know Matt. I know Hobby Horse. Are they called Hobby Horse?
Dude, are you serious?
What are they? I forgot what they're called. Pummel.
No, Pummel's for the guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't do the horse. The women.
What do you call that thing? I am completely blanked. Well, big Olympics guy.
The parallel bars?
No. The thing that they sit on and they.
The like women that. Don't do that. That's a pommel horse. The guys do that.
I said pommel horse.
Right, but the guys don't do that. I mean, the women don't do that.
They do.
They have balance beam.
They do balance beam. That's right. But I was right when I said pommel horse, and definitely not hobby horse. which I definitely did not say out loud about gymnastics on the radio. Point is, big gymnastics guy over here, okay?
Yeah, as, if you couldn't tell.
Big gymnastics guy. And Cal brings a history. SMU, 8 AAC championship teams last year. 28 event conference titles won by student athletes. 10 You know what? I'm going to stop. And here's why. Because no one cares. Because no one cares. No one cares. No one gives a good gosh darn.
About the ACC, yes,
no,
you're right.
About these teams being added to it.
Okay, yeah.
All right?
In all seriousness, I did forget that they got added to the ACC.
I mean, listen.
Because it still doesn't make sense. It's like, okay, everybody else is getting teams. We need to get some too. Oh, okay. Let's take them.
I'll go a buck further. Because, again, I actually have some good arguments.
Do you feel like there are bugs crawling on your arms? I know you're peeling.
I'm peeling. But it's real itchy.
It's getting obsessive.
I forgot to moisturize. I should have moisturized before I came in here. No, I'm not using hand sanitizer. My skin is more high quality than that.
Okay.
Right? I have lotion in the car. I'll go apply during the break.
There might be some women down the hall that might have some moisturizer.
That's true.
I'm just saying.
I bet they got some smell good stuff down there.
Should I go ask Tori? I mean, it'd be weird.
I'll go ask Tori. Okay. I don't care.
All right.
I bet she's got some like lavender.
Hey, Tori, Rob needs some moisturizer.
I need some moisturizer. Okay, so like you bring in Stanford. Stanford is the leader in all-time NCAA team championships, right? Like there's legacy from these teams being brought in and no one cares. Here's why they got brought in. I told you this when it happened. I'll tell you again just to give you a refresher because, hey, today, tried to get John Blau on today. Missed him yesterday because I was off. And he goes, I'd love to come on, bud, but he's up in North Carolina today. Why? Because today is the first hearings in Clemson versus the ACC in the North Carolina version of the case, right? So these teams did not get brought in because they're crown jewels. These teams did not get brought in because they are now going to make the ACC the elite football conference in America. These teams got brought in for one reason and one reason alone. These teams got brought in so that there were too many members to vote to dissolve the conference. That is it. That's it. That's the only reason. They didn't bring them in because Stanford, SMU, and Cal are going to make football elite. They didn't bring them in because Cal, SMU, and Stanford are going to up the ACC's degree of difficulty or because we believe they're going to be postseason teams or any of that. They brought them in for one reason or one reason alone so that the schools like Clemson, Florida State, North Carolina, Miami, etc. couldn't win over another couple of schools like an NC State or a Duke, get them to vote to dissolve the conference, and then do that. That's it. That's it. That's why nobody cares. That's why nobody's like, it is now here and official. When I go to ACC Media Days, these schools will be represented. I will be interviewing players and coaches from Stanford, Cal, and SMU. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. These guys, these teams were not brought in to make the conference a better football conference. They were brought in so that Clemson couldn't call Virginia Tech and be like, yo, Hokies. Let's be real. We could all be making more money. You'll get a Big Ten invite. Virginia Tech will get a Big Ten invite. We want Enter Sandman on TV. We'll give you a crack, right? We'll pull some strings. Florida State can't call Miami and be like, listen, I know we got a long history. I know we got a long history of back and forth, a lot of rivalry, you know, going back to the Jimmy Johnson days, going back to the Bobby Bowden days. Like, I know we've got this history. So why not keep the band together? When we catch our SEC invite, we'll put in a good word for you too. Wink, wink, finger guns. We'll put in a good word for you. Hey. And we'll get you the invite. And you'll make a buttload more money. Vote to dissolve the conference. And they make a good argument. And then all of a sudden, it's not just Clemson, Florida State, North Carolina, Miami, Duke. But maybe you get a Virginia Tech. Maybe those two go, hey, let's make a play to stick with each other. We'll go to the Big Ten too. Or we'll go to the Geico 12. Right? Geico 12 is going to pay out more money. Probably starting in a year or two. Let's go to the Geico 12. Let's go to the Rouse's Supermarkets 12. Let's go to the Applebee's 12. Ooh, Applebee's a good one. Applebee's 12. We'll make more money. And then all of a sudden, The league dissolves itself. Well, guess what? Do you think there is a chance that Stanford, SMU, and Cal are going to vote to dissolve a conference that they just joined? A conference that saved them? No. Of course not. So now, the number of votes required to dissolve the conference grew, and the number of schools willing to vote to dissolve the conference did not. So the ACC is only now under threat from these lawsuits. The Florida State ACC lawsuits in both Florida and North Carolina. The Clemson ACC lawsuits, both in Pickens County and up in Charlotte. And they're getting underway. So I'm ready for what is going to be, boys and girls, the most exciting few months in college football's calendar. The day that, I got to remember to bring the blenders back, the day that we start playing Law and Order ACC. Can't wait. Lonzo and I are about to hit the legal books. We're about to become legal scholars of the highest order by the end of these lawsuits. Zoe and I are both going to be able to say, we know law. Just like we know ball. Can't wait. You know what else Lonzo knows? How to read the hell out of a sports flash.
We'll see about that. Boston's Jason Tatum is now the richest man in the history of the NBA after signing a 5-year, $314 million extension. Good for him. With the Celtics following an NBA Finals win. The move comes after Boston signed his teammate, Jaylen Brown, to a record extension last year, meaning the two richest contracts in NBA history will both be in Boston next year. Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving have some help next year as former Golden State Warrior Klay Thompson has signed a 3-year, $50 million deal with the Dallas Mavericks as part of the three-way trade that landed Thompson in Dallas. And Mavericks send guard Josh Green to the Charlotte Hornets and sent 2 second-round picks to Golden State. Hey, tune in this afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. for our brand spanking new show, Wire to Wire. Cole Bryson and Diesel get you up to date on the latest local and national sports news. Great guests, great debate, a whole lot of fun, and it's all Wire to Wire.